Chapter 43. When he woke, in deep blue daylight, his head felt much clearer, his thoughts sharper. The vague nausea that had plagued him receded. Evidently he was adapting to the altitude, adapting suspiciously well, in fact. Maybe this world was more oxygen-rich than the datum. After all, a planet full of giant trees could well have a messed-up atmosphere. He hoped Maggie Kaufman would get somebody sent back here to study the place properly some day. In the meantime, he badly needed a piss, more water, and food, in that order. He sat up, but too sharply, and his head swam briefly. A strong troll arm wrapped around his shoulders to save him from falling back. Sancho, of course. And looking beyond Sancho, Joshua saw that the rest of the trolls seemed to be congregated on one long, fat branch. Joshua grinned and gently pushed Sancho's arm away.
"Thanks, buddy. Let me see if I can water this mule by myself."
He made sure the rope around his waist was tied tight to the branch, then cautiously stood, bracing himself against the rough surface of the trunk wall. Then, facing away from Sancho, he unbuttoned and released the flow. His urine splashed against huge branches and fell in yellow droplets down into the deep air, and Joshua wondered vaguely how deep they would reach before evaporating, or maybe freezing out. Yellow hail. And how would it be if he did stumble? If his rope failed? If he fell from here? He would soon reach terminal velocity even in this thin air. It would surely take many minutes to reach the ground, sailing down past the trunk of this sky tree, crashing through layers of branches and startling the aerial fauna of this strange forest. Or maybe he wouldn't fall at all. Perhaps he would just float up into the sky like... The memory came back to him clear and sharp. And, as he stood here on one leg, before the wall of the trunk, he could swear he heard a kind of gurgle, as if from buried pipework, water rising through some kind of plumbing. He turned, almost falling in the process, grabbed Sancho's shoulders and reached for the troll call in his pack. "Sancho, water!"
"Fire!"
said the troll gravely.
"What? No, Sancho, water! Like the pod you fed me with last night."
Sancho pursed huge lips, then reached into the crook of a branchlet and produced a green sack, one of a stash, of the kind he'd given Joshua before. Joshua grabbed it. It was just as he remembered, and, given it was a sack of water the size of a grapefruit, it felt remarkably light. He ripped it open eagerly, dumped out the water.
"Ooh!"
said a surprised Sancho, and then released the empty bag. Just as before, the sack sailed upwards, rising like a party balloon lost in the sky. Excited now, Joshua said to Sancho, "Show me."
"Who? Water?"
"No, I don't want the water. I want the bags. Show me where you get the water bags."
And Sancho, understanding what he wanted, but evidently puzzled by Joshua's behaviour, he kept saying "fire," which puzzled Joshua in turn, led him to the tree's trunk face. Here a gash had been crudely cut, presumably by stone tools laboriously carried up from the ground, a gash wide enough for a troll hand to reach inside. Joshua could see nothing, but he could easily reach inside the cut and feel around. And he found more of the sacks, full of water, rising up through a smooth-walled channel deep within the tree. He sat with Sancho, Joshua chewing on compressed rations, the troll under his survival blanket, just as if they were back in their old codger's places at the bluff. With a little more thought,
"By God, I wish Lobsang was here. Or Sister Georgina."
Joshua believed he began to see the secret of the sky trees.
"Here's my theory, old buddy. Here's how these impossible trees of yours aren't impossible after all."
"Who?"
"Those water sacks are like little balloons. Once they've lost their water ballast, they just float up into the air. So, just like a toy balloon, they have to be filled with something, some gas that's lighter than air. Hot air? No. They weren't even warm to the touch. What then? Helium or hydrogen, I figure, just like a twain. But where would a tree get helium from? That stuff's pretty rare, as far as I know, on most worlds anyhow. Hydrogen, on the other hand, is everywhere. He remembered tabletop chemistry experiments Sister Georgina had run with him in the home. You can get hydrogen from water, H2O. You pass an electrical current through water, and the water molecules are split into hydrogen and oxygen, and you just collect the hydrogen.
Huh?
Exactly. He looked up at the higher canopy, where vast leaves, suspended from vaster branches, bathed in the sunlight. There's all the energy you need to drive an electrical current, pouring down from the sky. Somehow, maybe through some kind of natural conductor, a fraction of that energy is passed all the way down to the tree's roots. And I bet you'll find a kind of natural electrolysis lab down there, where groundwater is split to give off hydrogen. The hydrogen is collected in vessels like your water pouches, the sacks. The mechanics of it must be fun. And that's how water is brought up from the ground, through a height of miles, carried in natural hydrogen balloons, passing up through internal channels inside the tree itself. And that's how come these beasts can grow 70, 80 times taller than the tallest sequoia.
Huh?
Joshua slapped his forehead. And the reaching wood. I saw it for myself. The whole substance of the wood is full of hydrogen. That's what makes it so light. That's what makes this damn tree able to stand up. Why, maybe it doesn't support its own weight at all. Maybe its upper layers are so light, they are actually tethered to the ground by the trunk and the roots, like a twain on its cable. I love it.
Fire.
Yes, buddy. What about fire? Hydrogen is pretty inflammable. Sure, that's why you didn't want me building a campfire in the tree canopy the other night, right? And lightning strikes here must cause a hell of a mess. Though I imagine the trees must have evolved some way to resist fire. After all, they are full of bags of water. Lagers, though. Maybe that's why something as obviously useful as reaching wood, ultralight, has never been brought back to the low earths. Because anybody who happened on this band of worlds, if anybody has made it out this far, has, on their first night, casually built a campfire. Kaboom! Goodbye, lagers.
Fire?
I know, I know. What would Lobsang make of this? He'd try to figure out how it evolved, that's what. I guess as soon as the hydrogen buoyancy trick emerges at all, there'd be a race to be tallest, strongest, the one to trap the light. No wonder the trees grow as high as they do, until the cold or the lack of oxygen limits them.
Fire! Fire!
For the first time in long minutes, Joshua paid attention to what the troll was actually trying to say to him. It wasn't just the word. Sanjay was pointing out to where the rest of the trolls were gathered, out at the end of that long limb, suspended in the sky. Joshua peered out that way, cursing aged eyes. And he thought he saw something at the very end of that branch, a stranger fruit yet, some kind of big, heavy animal, bigger than a troll. Cornered out on that branch, trapped by the trolls. And a splash of bright orange, flight suit orange. Joshua's heart seemed to stop. He grabbed the troll call again. That's my boy.
Cub,
Sancho agreed.
You found him. Shit. Sancho, I could kiss you. But now we have to go get him, right?
Fire.
Joshua thought it over for 1 second. Then he dug in his pack and pulled out a box of matches.
This is what you want me to bring to the party?
Fire! Cub! Fire!
Somehow we're going to use fire to get Rod back. Okay, buddy. I'll follow your lead. I have a feeling we won't be coming back this way. Excited, bewildered, determined, Joshua tucked the matches into his jacket pocket and hastily bundled up the rest of his gear into the med pack. Then, as he clambered onto the troll's back, wrapping rope firmely around both their waists, Joshua muttered,
So,
A tree-climbing croc has my son, and I'm crawling across a 5-mile pillar of hydrogen on the back of a troll with a box of matches in my pocket. What can possibly go wrong?